from runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the weekly internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Carl Franklin introducing show number 16 with guest Steve Whitner, recorded Thursday, July 12, 2007. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, offering professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
Hi, this is Richard Campbell, and you're listening to Run As Radio. And with me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
That would be me. Hey, Richard.
How are you, sir?
Good. How about yourself?
Well, summer's treating me fine.
Yeah, it's a nice day here. It was just wicked hot a couple days ago. It's tailed off a little bit, but I think we're enjoying the warm weather in the Portland, Oregon area.
Well, and up here in Vancouver, it's been scorching hot too. But by the time this show is published, I'll have turned 40, so I should be drunk.
Well, I turned 40 in April, so there you go. And something else that we have in common.
There you go. Yeah, and in fact, I think it was right around the time that we published the very first show, which was 4 months ago now, if you can believe it.
Yeah, that's seems like ages ago, doesn't it?
Time is flying by, and I'm enjoying the fact that our listener base is growing nicely. Things are going quite well, I think.
Yeah, so what's your midlife crisis going to look like?
I think I'm having my midlife crisis. I suddenly have an urge to speak into microphones all the time.
You know, I've people are joking with me. I'm 40 years old. I'm a geek, you know, and I have a 600cc crotch rocket.
Right? Uh-oh.
CBR 600RR Honda. That I've had. I'm not riding it very much. Over the last year or so, I've started to realize that I really and truly am not bulletproof.
Yeah. Do you get hurt, stay hurt?
I think my midlife crisis is going to be selling my motorcycle.
Oh, my Lord.
Although the other day, I got to tell you, since we're talking about motorcycles and since I brought it up, and you haven't interrupted me yet, that I bought a new dirt bike.
Oh. So you felt you didn't have enough chance to hurt yourself on the street. Now you're going to have to go off-road.
Well, you know, I rode dirt bikes ever since I was a kid off and on, and I really enjoy it. And I think I'll get a lot more use out of that. And somebody else can enjoy the blue rocket. And,
right.
And I'm back out in the dirt again.
I rode motorcycles in my 20s, sold them when I had kids, and now and have never gotten them again, although every so often I get tempted. But all my friends that are turning 40 have bought motorcycles.
I have a CBR 600RR down here. I'll make you a smoking deal on it if you want. How's that?
Yeah, we'll see what we can do about that. It's not exactly my style anymore.
Well, it really is great, you know, sitting around computers and dealing with, you know, process and technology and all those things all day, which I love the job and I love what I do, but it sure is nice just to get outside, get out in the air and kind of let the wind blow and just sort of, you know, let loose a little bit.
You got to get out of the office once in a while. You're going to go crazy.
You really do.
So let me do a callback for you all the way back to show number one.
Number
with Pat one. Hines.
Yeah.
Where we talked about storage technology right off the bat. And one of the big conversational pieces we had was around backup.
Right.
And specifically disk-based backup. And we got our first flurry of email off that first show about people asking for more content on disk-based backup. And I believe you're the one who finally delivered on that.
Yes. Thank you very much. So we've deployed some disk-based backup where I work, and I reached out to Quantum and asked if Steve Whitner could join us to talk about what's going on and what's new in the backup world. And with all the questions that we did get around disk-based backup, they seem to be a good resource to try to find somebody who has some great long-term industry experience to just have a conversation about what it's all about and some of the technologies that surround disk-based backup.
All right, Greg, let's introduce our guest. Our guest this week is Steve Whitner from Quantum, and he is the product manager for disk-based backup systems out of Redmond. And Steve, as I understand it, you've been doing the backup thing for a long, long time.
You know, it's true. I've been doing backup of various kinds for more than 10 years. I love backup, love restore. It's a great field to be in.
Tell us, what do you love about it? Because I can tell you as an IT guy that backup tends to have a lot of headaches associated with it, and at least historically it has.
You know, it's absolutely true. Actually, one of the things about backup is it is probably, in most organizations, the single most complicated application that people do. It touches every single bit of data. It touches every application that people do. It touches all different kinds of storage systems, servers. It may have different operating systems. And you're trying to bring all that stuff together, and it's an essential task, but it's also one that tends to be kind of thankless because people don't access the data on a regular basis as part of normal stuff. They do it when there's a problem. So it's really complicated, and then you have this thing where it's unappreciated.
Well, and I was just thinking that, you know, backup's not the big problem. It's restore that's the big problem.
That's right.
You know, it is one of those, you call it thankless, it's one of those auto-magical things that just kind of happens in the background and everybody expects it to be perfect. There's an awful lot of moving parts, both mechanical and virtual, if you will, or silicon, that are going on in backup. And so I totally agree. It's by far one of the more complicated. And for that reason, I think the industry experiences that it's one of those things that tends to break more often, or, you know, because it's so complicated and complex that the breakage rate is kind of high.
You know, I think it's true. I also think that for a lot of companies, the number of companies that are really specialists in backup and recovery are relatively small. There have been a lot of people that deal in different kinds of storage areas. They make progress. They do different things. I think there are different areas in the industry where people have that are more visible, that where people move ahead and have put innovation in. I think in some ways, innovation in some areas of backup have lagged. For a long time, tape systems that were used for backup didn't have a lot of the kind of intelligence and management that people associated with primary storage. Those things have been added in the last few years, but it didn't happen at the same rate as in some other areas.
In our very first show, is that right, Richard?
That was show number one, Pat Hines.
Yeah, so we touched on backup, and we actually had a flurry of questions, email and otherwise, related to disk-based backup and asking us to, can you please get somebody on who can speak intelligently and can inform us about, you know, what this is? Because it's a relatively, you know, as a field or as a mechanism that's really taken off and is starting to fly, it's a pretty big deal in the backup area, isn't it?
It absolutely is. You know, using disk in some part of the backup process, well, let's see. People have been doing it for some time, but I think there's a growing momentum around it. And part of that is because some of the technology is making it easier to do. And so there's a natural tendency to want to bring it in. Disk has some properties when it's used as part of backup that are nice. It restores quickly. It's got random access. In some situations, not in all, it can increase performance on the write side as well. So there's some nice characteristics of disk, but there's some things that make it not work so well too. And there are some technology changes that are pretty recent that are really making disk more attractive. So there's some real momentum behind it.
So I'm an IT guy working in the IT shop, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what am I going to be doing for backup? I know that I've spent a lot of time and therefore money on it in the past. I'm ready to start looking at new technologies. Now, and you working with Quantum, you know, you guys are all about backup, right? I mean, it's a variety of different types. You do disk-based. I believe you're still doing tape-based backup, right?
Absolutely. In fact, Quantum's the largest company in the world today that is really specializing in backup recovery and archive systems. That's what we live and breathe and do.
So what is it that didn't exist 2 years ago or 3 years ago that exists today? And why is disk-based backup something that is generating so much interest? What is it about it? What kind of problems can it help solve that I've been experiencing, you know, over the last several years?
One of the nice characteristics about disk for backup is, in some cases, it can increase write performance. And the big problem that people face over and over again in backup is, I got to get data backed up during a certain window.
Right.
All kinds of changes help mitigate that, but the single biggest problem on the backup side that we hear people talking about is, I got to get data off, get my backup done in a certain amount of time. There are places where disk does that in a way that is better than the linear system on tape. Not always, but there are places it does. The second thing that it does is, for restores, disk is stronger. It's faster. You don't have to mount physical systems. You can bring data back. It has random access when you're grabbing a file. You don't have to look at a lot of other stuff to get there. Great system for that. Restores and writes. Disk has great characteristics. The downside of disk has been that in the backup world, once you start putting data on, you don't just do one copy the way you tend to do a primary data, but you're going to do multiple point-in-time images of that primary data. And so you're going to use more storage for backup than you do on the primary side. And as you aim stuff at disk, you run out of space. You put the data on, you put another set on, and after a while, you get to the place where you got to buy a lot more disk, or you got to get data off and do something else with it.
Isn't a lot of the data that gets backed up, like especially in a big enterprise, isn't a lot of it redundant?
It absolutely is. People back up the same data over and over again. Now, that sounds like it's bad, but in fact, that's one of the things that backup does for you. When you're making multiple copies, part of the data doesn't change, part of it does. Backup is one of those things where you're taking a look at the data at a point in time, you're constructing an image of that, and you're able to go back and recreate the data set at that point.
Sure.
And that's important to do. So there is going to be some inevitable and beneficial redundancy in that. But it tends to drive up the amount of capacity that you need. And one of the great changes that has happened in the last few years has been the availability of technology that can let you store multiple discrete images of backup sets, but that can reduce the amount of redundant blocks of data underneath. And that technology is called data deduplication. Very, very powerful. It's one of the things that is going to make and is making disk much more interesting as a backup medium.
I can tell you, I mean, where I work, we've started using disk-based backup within the last year and have implemented some, as you say, deduplication technology. And we found that the amount of data that is repeated, you know, that exists in multiple places that's being backed up and that we were sticking on tape in prior to going to disk was really quite large.
Yeah.
And it's not just, we found that not just the storage, capacity impact that has by all that duplication of data, but also the time window that you mentioned earlier, because again, where, you know, a lot of times your bottleneck is time if it's not storage. And not having to back up multiple copies not only saved us disk, but because we were able to find duplicates before backing up, made a big difference in terms of how many systems and what's our capacity in 24 hours.
Yep. The whole idea of doing some kind of data reduction is very powerful, and there are different ways of doing it. You can look for duplicate files, you can look for duplicate blocks, you can do it as part of the backup or before the backup, or you can do it as you send data to a target, not unlike what you've done with, you know, libraries in the past. There are different places you can do it. There are several different ways. Each one has pluses and minuses. One of the interesting things that's going on right now in the backup world is there are more options than there have ever been, and it's nice to talk to people that kind of understand what those are to help sort them out and see what might make most sense in a given environment. And it is, backup is interesting, it's become even more fun, and it's also become a little more complex. And different choices, different selections, different solutions are going to be right for different kinds of environments. And a lot of people are going to end up using more than one. You'll use tape for storage that may go for 6 months or a year or 2 years or 5 years, and you may use disk primarily where you're storing things for a month or 2 months or 3 months.
And there's also, of course, the question of what if I have a business requirement to store backups off-site, but not in the data center.
That is a great point. In fact, you know, site loss of some kind and protecting its site loss is incredibly important, and it's something that you've got to do. That's been a second weakness historically of using disk as a backup medium. If I write data to a disk, there's nothing inherent in that disk that lets me protect against site loss. It's there, it's stuck, I got it there. I can't easily carry it away. Disk is not designed for that. Although there are, you know, especially for smaller end systems, some portable disk systems that are hard, that are ruggedized and hardened, that are portable, but they tend to be, you know, designed for pretty, either very specialized or pretty small scale systems.
Right.
But, you know, disk ends up having siloed data. You can't get it to another place easily when it's backup data. One of the nice things about data deduplication technology is it really lets you use replication over conventional WANs to be able to make a duplicate copy of backup sets at different sites. And in some ways, that's even a stronger endorsement for the technology than just getting more data and retaining it longer on disk. That replication capability is an incredibly exciting thing.
So instead of the classic assumption that I must send tapes off-site to a hardened bunker storage facility, we're talking about the maybe I have multiple locations which are geographically distributed and disparate, and I can replicate that data that I'm backing up to two different or three different locations or however many, and get my disaster recovery requirements met that way.
Absolutely. In fact, part of the technology, the data deduplication that, you know, Quantum has a line of products that does this. We call them DXi series products. Part of what they do is you're looking at data at a block level. It's a very special variable size block. And when you see a block that you've seen before, instead of storing the block again, you store a pointer to it in the metadata for that backup set. So that means you use much less disk space when you are storing data, but when you're replicating data, it works the same way. If I've already replicated and transmitted a block over a WAN to a target site, if I've already sent that one, I don't have to send it again.
I'm curious, how do you know if that block has been already been recorded? Is this as simple as, you know, MD5ing it and having a hash that you can just look up in a table, or are you actually really comparing the actual block, or how does that type of stuff work?
Actually, it's based on some cryptographic systems and security systems that were developed during the 90s. There was a patent issued to people that are now part of Quantum in 1999 for doing that, and in fact, you're creating a kind of digital signature for the blocks, and it's a cryptographic level signature, and you can look at that signature and say, if I've seen that signature, that means I've seen the block that's associated with it. So that's exactly right. It's like a fingerprint, like a digital fingerprint for the blocks.
Gotcha. So you have high confidence as well as higher performance that way because it's a small amount of data.
That's exactly right. So what I can do is I can say, I've seen that block. I don't have to transmit it again. I've already got it stored at the other end for it. We do some clever things too. We also check to see, you know, if we've got a set of blocks that I want to send to a target, we first send a list of those signatures over and ask the target if it's got them. And the reason we do that is because you can take multiple sites and use them to go back to a single target. And that data, those blocks, might have been sent yesterday from a different site. And if that's the case, then we don't want to have to send it again. So we check before we transmit to see if those things are there. I refer to that as the Lutheran approach to replication. There's a predestination element here. This is the theology of a replication.
You know, Richard, I think one of the things that you and I have discussed before is, you know, and might be really interesting, Steve, for you to comment on is the relative cost of hard disk on a per byte, per terabyte, or whatever unit of measure basis has really dropped significantly. One of the hidden costs, in my experience at least, of using tape-based backup is just a reliability issue with the physical tape media. Do you have any comments on that? And Richard, have you been hearing the same thing? You know, I mean, I know that obviously disk cost has been coming down, but I'm kind of curious as to how do they compare tape versus disk-based backup, and where are we at in the real world now?
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing what you guys are seeing out there. Disk has come down tremendously when you add deduplication technology to it, so you get more on the space. I think it tends to lower the price even more. One thing you got to remember is that the very cheapest kinds of disk, the very lowest cost systems, are not necessarily the things that you want to use as the repository for your disaster protection copy of your most critical data. So one of the things you always have to sort of balance is, what's the absolute lowest price, you know, lowest cost thing I can get, and is that how I want to use it? What you want to use for the backup of important data is a good commercial, well-established RAID system that's got in the kind of data integrity checking, the kinds of things that make it suitable for protection of your most critical assets. So, and when you do that, the costs are much better than they used to be, but for a lot of reasons, the cost of the media itself, the way that you're keeping multiple copies, the cost of heating and cooling and space, the green issues, for a lot of reasons, you want to do things that minimize that cost. Disk is probably a great medium for retention of data for a specific amount of time. There are not many people that want to keep multiple copies of critical data on spinning disk for a year or 2 years or 7 years. If that's the case, it's fine. We've got products that'll do it, but there's usually a sort of tiered approach where you want to have it stored on that medium for restore for a certain amount of time. And then what you want to do is have it on a kind of medium, like I think tape is a very strong one, for longer terms. I want to do a quick comment about tape and how that works. Tape is removable. There are things that are possible. There's a you know, sort of head tape interface. You know, faults can get introduced. There are a number of things that can happen. I think historically tape libraries have been behind in applying smart technology to do things to make tape more reliable. And one of the things I'm really proud of Quantum having done is to build into tape libraries management systems that are a little bit more like what people see with primary storage. I'll give one example. We built into tape library systems that will track all the error events associated with a piece of media. And you can download the log and you can see and track the integrity of the media, and you can look at all the media that has ever been loaded into a library, and you can see all the fault events, you can see which drive it was in, you can see it whether it's off in a vault someplace or still in the library, and you can actually track the error rates associated with removable media.
These are things like the smart monitoring on a disk drive, right?
Exactly. But the tape industry was slow to have put that in. Those things have really only been offered by companies like Quantum. I think we're the only one really doing that. And within the last few years, that kind of technology does make it. It brings tape to a level that that can handle those media issues and make it a strong, very reliable storage medium for long-term.
And, you know, we talked about the deduplication, the random access capability, the ability on a disk-based system to simply point at some sector on the hard drive and grab some piece of information to rebuild my backup the piece of software that I'm looking for, the file that I'm looking for in my backup. Really, the deduplication, it sounds like random access really lends itself toward doing that.
It absolutely does. It's in fact, you need that random access. You need duplication requires a random access medium. It's got to be on disk. In fact, when we create tapes from that system, the term I use is re-expand that data and write it in standard native format, so that if you ever had to bring that tape back and read that data, you could do it on any tape drive in the world. You wouldn't have to bring it back through a disk-based system like that.
That's interesting, because I was just thinking, deduplication is such a good idea. I'd want to have it there no matter what that ultimately was stored as, whether it was, we were talking about three different backup opportunities here, to disk, to tape, and to a remote site over a WAN connection. Certainly the WAN connection, where you're playing by the gigabyte anyway, deduplication is a fabulous idea. I just did not think about the fact that I don't want deduplication on my tapes, is that creates that dependency on my tapes.
That's exactly right. You want to be able to do a good, fast, linear read on the tape. And, you know, DXi series products are terrific. They're great. Everybody ought to have four of them. You know, they make great Christmas presents. You ought to have them all around. But in fact, if you have a site loss, you want to be able to bring data back from a piece of media and load it on tape drives that are ubiquitous and load it on anyone.
Yeah, classic whammy is I don't know what drive I recorded that tape on, and now I can't restore it.
Exactly, exactly. So you got to keep those things off. And that's part of that complexity of any backup system. If you're going to retain data for a year, for 3 years, for 5 years, and there are lots of requirements for doing that, I can't tell you how many customers I talk to in some private sector, publicly owned companies, and government agencies that said, our policy right now is take data, bring it in, I'm going to retain everything forever insofar right. as I am able to do that.
Yeah, which is madness on its own self. But, you know, we've already talked about Sarbanes-Oxley and so forth. And I've definitely set up backup systems where we had the backup that protects us from our folks accidentally damaging data. We need to recover it. And that's much more interactive. And then we have the backup system that's really for the auditors. So when the auditor says, I want all that data from this date 6 years ago, we can go find it. But it doesn't have to be fast.
Exactly. Exactly. And that multiple levels is everybody is probably going to end up using multiple kinds of technologies. And it's part of what is, it's, and that's good because what you're going to have now are some kinds of disk systems that are going to be much more usable for backup. You'll be able to retain data. You won't end up filling your disk thing after a week and having to do something with it. You can retain a month or 2 months or a quarter's worth of data on a disk system because you can get 20 times more or 50 times more data than you can on regular disk. So you can retain it and then you can replicate it and then you can put it on tape and you can use that as a longer term storage mechanism. And that tape will have media integrity checking. And oh, by the way, we've got products that are single pane of glass management features that will let you manage your disk devices and your tape devices, do them all from a single console. That kind of stuff where you're going to link different pieces of the backup process together are now coming, and it's going to be a very exciting next couple of years for a backup. Backup has been pretty siloed, and it's going to become networked in a way that makes it much more powerful, much more usable, much more interesting.
You know, a lot of this gear, and I thumbed around the Quantum site, and I joked at the beginning, before we started recording, I said, don't those guys just make hard drives? Apparently, you guys make a lot of things besides hard drives. In fact, I actually didn't see the hard drives anywhere on the website.
No, you know, that's Quantum used to be a big disk drive guy. We have a lot of experience with disk drive, but we have become really specialists. We're the only, I think, significantly sized company that really is specializing in backup and recovery and archive. That's what we do. We're not in the primary storage business except in some very specialized cases with some fantastically interesting software. We're specialists in this backup, recovery,
right.
and archive space.
And a lot of this gear is big. I mean, this is large data center gear. I'm hoping, I know we have a group of listeners that are definitely in the smaller sect where they're only running two or three servers. Are there products down to this size?
Absolutely.
Your Pathlight systems, for example, look to be, you know, still maybe enterprise class, but smaller capacity.
You know, I would say that in the disk system, we actually have a couple of areas down here. I can address disk and tape. On tape systems, we have everything from single drives up to big libraries that are, you know, it's big enough the admin can sleep in them.
I love I just get mesmerized by the big autoloaders, multi-headed, robotic tape loading. Like, that just is the funnest thing in the world.
50 feet long.
Yeah. No kidding.
The best ones are the ones that are this pit in the room.
Yeah.
It drops down 20 feet, and there's these robots that are just moving around all Star Wars-y.
They're great. They're one of the things. They're also complicated, and those are one of the things, technologies that I think have been kind of retrograde. They were slow to pick up on the technology to really do the kind of, as we said, smart monitoring. Quantum's doing that. We got great products that have that layer of management that really takes those things to a new level. On the disk side, we have several different things. For small business kinds of things, we have products that are disk backup systems. They include a software component. They include deduplication designed for this very area. It writes data on disk. The disks are ruggedized. They're removable. They're password protected. You can take them out of the device and carry them away and have, you know, quick site loss protection and do it on a disk system. And it's affordable and neat and very, very easy. Those things are called GoVault, neat technology.
So what is it? What does affordable mean?
Oh, it's in the range of they'll start at $500 for a system.
Wow.
So actually very nice, yeah.
Oh, so you're talking pretty inexpensive stuff to start.
Yeah, and then we also have conventional disk backup systems, disk systems that look like a tape library. So, backup software likes to write to tape libraries. So we have systems that make disk look like tape libraries, and we have those that start for, well under $10,000 that people can put into a smaller office environment, back up to disk, and then they can make tapes later. And, those things are available. The deduplication products probably start in the range of, they're designed for people that have got, 250 to 300 gigabytes of data at a site and up. They get much, much bigger than that, huge. But those things are starting, range of, probably $20,000, something like that.
If I'm spending $10,000-$20,000, what kind of capacity are we talking about? I mean, I know we're talking round numbers and retail price type things, but just to kind of get a gauge on it here.
It's the capacity of the systems that are operating. Let's see, the entry level deduplication products would have a capacity that is equivalent to anywhere from 20 to 50 terabytes.
That's pretty big.
Pretty big. That's part of the magic of that deduplication. You can, as long as you store it doesn't work for all data, but for backup data where there's a lot of redundancy, you can get 10, 20, 40, 50 times more data on the same amount of disk as you can with a conventional array. And so what you get for that, round number $20,000, it'll be lower than that in some cases, is a lot of capacity.
And, of course, the ability to expand it as necessary.
You can expand that, and you can also add to that this capability of replicating data without having to roll out a specialized, fiber across the world. You can do it with a conventional LAN. So now you can make another copy of data on another site. One of the things we see very often that happens is people have a smaller site. They don't have IT people. You have a
branch office.
Library. It's a branch office someplace. It's important data. You got to back it up. You don't have dedicated IT people. Somebody has to manage that removable media. Now what you can do is put a disk device out there, have it automatically receive the backup data. You can use the same backup software. Then you can make a copy of that using replication in a different site, and then you can centralize and have tape operations at a different location.
Well, and I can see pretty solid ROI around that as soon as you start adding up the bandwidth costs. It's not going to take long.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And it also, what it also does is it says, now I've reduced removable parts. I don't have people that don't know what they're doing, fiddling around with a media. I don't have to send somebody out there to drive. I don't have to have Iron Mountain drive out and pick that stuff up and carry it off. I've got all that stuff under my control. I've got an automated second copy of that data.
Well, and the probability that in a failure case, you're actually going to succeed to recover too.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. Neat stuff.
One of the issues that I know I've observed over time is, quite frankly, laptop hard drives have a tendency to fall apart.
I just went through that myself, as a matter of fact, my home laptop.
desktop or / laptop type of automatic backup software to back up to a centralized device, is that something that Quantum does?
We're not in the backup software application business. I know there are a number of people that have worked on that in different ways, and there are a number of different standards. I agree with you. I think it's one of those areas that is still in need of solutions that are elegant and that work heavily. I think there are an awful lot of laptops out there with data that end up being vulnerable because there is not, most people do not roll out the systems for backing that stuff up regularly.
Well, and having rolled them out, I can tell you that they have matured over time.
No.
They're significantly better now than they were even just a couple of years ago, some of these systems. But, by the way, and just from a security guy's standpoint, there's a value in terms of having the data backed up. There's also value in terms of having it backed up so I can know what was on the laptop in the event that it goes missing.
Absolutely. No, I think there are a lot of reasons for that. I think that's, again, one of those areas where there's still significant room for innovation, making that easier. Anytime you're doing a lot of data on laptops and you're trying to figure out in a lot of different locations, you're managing applications on them, it's complicated. I think there's some potential things that will happen that'll make that easier. But I think it's still an area that, as they say, is still approaching perfection.
So what's coming next? What does the future hold?
Well, I think actually that the future in some ways is it's a more extensive use of this technology of deduplication, linking backup systems. It's really the beginning right now. The first products that have come out that use the technology have been relatively small appliances aimed for kind of medium-sized organizations. We just announced a product that takes the same kind of technology and ports that to big enterprise, you know, active failover, no single point of failure, enterprise disk systems that can, you know, in native capacity scale up to, you know, 250 terabytes or something in that range. I think that we're going to see a very strong increase in being able to link different backup systems across enterprises, coordinate tape creation. One of the interesting things that's going on right now also is adding security to, you know, when you do get to that last layer and you're putting tape on it, you want to have that encrypted. We're now in the place where we're building encryption algorithms and capability directly into the tape system so that when you create tapes, you can do it without having to have a separate application and appliance to do that. So I think the big thing for multi-site enterprise products or companies in the future is going to be this integration of multiple pieces, making backup actually an integrated, interconnected, strategic process that is working, has a central anchor point, lots of pieces, and where you coordinate data across them. And it's going to be very exciting.
It's a critical enough piece of the business. It should be a way of doing things, not a set of boxes that get checked.
Exactly. We've lived in the world where backup systems are all silos and islands, and the big change that's happening is these guys are going to get connected, and it's going to make people's lives a lot easier and get data protected a lot better.
All right, gentlemen, we're already past a half an hour, but I'd like to recap a bit for the listeners. Reasons for disk-based backup. Speed being the big one, because backup on tape just takes too long.
It's speed on the write side. It's also speed on the restore side. I would say speed on the restore side is an even bigger issue with it.
Equally as important. So for recurrent backups, having that immediate ability to go back and recover something easily. But you're still going to have tape when you get into very large capacities or long duration backups, possibly with disk sitting in front of it.
That's exactly right. And you're also going to make disk. We're going to evolve. Disk as disk, just a hunk of disk, is not a terribly good backup medium.
Right.
And what we're doing is evolving, and we have evolved devices that make disk work better for backup.
And deduplication's got to be the big one there.
And deduplication is the big thing.
And the kicker, the one that's new to me in terms of thinking, is I use this disk deduplicator, and then I WAN it to a remote site.
Yep.
Which just makes all that easier.
It absolutely does.
That's really very cool stuff. And we really appreciate you taking the time out to have the conversation with us.
We love talking about backup at Quantum. We'd love to do it. Thanks.
Apparently you guys are the only ones.
That's right.
Well, thanks very much for coming on, Steve. We really appreciate your time.
Bye-bye.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.